Good evening, truckers, wherever you are. It's time once again for Hutton Live, as we bring you up to date with at least one version of what's been happening in the galaxy this week. I'm Rudolf Hucker, and I'm aided, abetted, and sometimes sprung from jail by the stalwarts and staunch supporters that I'm contractually obliged to call the crew. Over to my left, it's the person that I'm pleased to call Harry Balzac.
Good evening, Rudolf. Next to me is the person I'm delighted to call Wilma Fingerdoo.
Thank you, Harry. My companion is the person I'm overjoyed to call Norma Snockers.
Hello, everyone. On my right, and almost on my lap, it's Mia Harkness.
Sorry about that, Norma. Flossie never complains. Last tonight, but not least, is Juan Kerr.
Oh, I'm last this week, am I? Who moved the chairs around? Was it because the music stopped? Does that mean I have to read Norma's bit in the script? Let's find out. Bong Maestro, the headlines, please.
Emperors furious.
Custodians aghast at Commander's conversation boob.
The engineer's recipe for fun.
It's Burster Keaton.
When I say space jump, you answer how high?
I don't know. You wait all week for a war, then two come along at once.
Non-stop community-led events. We'll bring you up to speed.
First this evening, it appears that one of King Hanky's clones has become a little zealous in helping to raise the status of Hot Coal, and has, temporarily at least, taken control of Hanky's 6th fleet carrier, the Emperor's Fury, during the current event entitled The Party at the End of the Galaxy. Party folk have been arriving at the starting point all week, bringing bottles of obscure booze that they found at the back of their drinks cupboard that they picked up during a trip to the more refined parts of Orion's Belt. But when they got home, found out that unlike Centauri Megagin, it just didn't travel. And so it's been languishing there for years, and they might as well bring it in the hopes that someone else has brought something decent. Flight suits were piled in a heap in the back bedroom. People were practicing their small talk, but there was an uneasy feeling amongst the passengers. Things just didn't seem right. This was summed up by Commander Rampage. I've embarked upon the Emperor's Fury for your much-publicised party at End of Galaxy. Just what kind of show are you running here? The beer's watered down and only Tharg knows what's in those little bowls at the bar. Might be crunchy, but it weren't nuts. My backside hates me, and it's all your fault. Can I also remind you about the loud bagpipe music you promised me? Really loud. It's not for me. I just know it really winds loose knockers up. But all this came too late. As if triggered by an unseen signal. All the party banners were torn down, the lights changed from multicoloured disco to stark white, then dimmed as the Emperor's Fury made its mammoth jump. Only as the noise of the motors faded could the passengers hear an announcement through the speaker system over the ticking of the cooling engines. Greetings, passengers. The party's just begun, but there'll be no passing round of nibbles, no questionable music choices, and definitely no putting the keys from your spaceships in a bowl. You're here to work, so help Hot Coal out. Number one, get Eol Procol Centauri out of election and infrastructure failure. Number two, win the election in Pytheas. Number three, get Eol Procol Centauri and Dariso influence between 50 and 60%. Number four, get Tyr influence between 20 and 25%. Number five, stop Pytheas going into retreat. And finally, six, enjoy yourself and get engineered. We understand that most of the passengers, once they sobered up, have decided to make the best of a bad job and go along with the demands of the clone in the hopes that the real King Hanky will come along and rescue them in time for just one more drink out of whatever bottle's left. probably the WKD, even if it's the one that you brought, and a slow dance with whoever's not paired off at the end of the evening. And talking of naughty commanders, we do note that Commander Westorp is in jail again, with, as of yet, no hope of parole. We will be sending him a cake with an arc cutter inside it in the post.
Commanders were shocked on Saturday. They become unwitting and certainly unwilling onlookers to a conversation of an intimate nature amongst a group of other commanders. Said commanders had been discussing how long hours in the pilot's chair combined with tight-fitting flight suits from Eddie Lee Wise and Sons and his daughters had restricted circulation to their extremities and left them devoid of all sensation from the waist down. The members of the group went on to explain in great detail how they had tried to restore feeling to the affected areas. One was currently on the parade at Hutton, where he had attempted to purchase some erotic art. This resulted in his being asked to leave the charity shop and told never to return. Another tried hitting his gentleman's special area with a hammer to see if he could feel anything. After an hour, he gave up without success, saying that his arms were getting sore. The third tried taking performance enhancers, but since he didn't have a drink handy to help swallow them down, only ended up with a stiff neck. It was during this discussion that Commander Vantian thought it wise to interject with a polite ahem and remind said commanders that they were posting in the Hutton Custodians chat group. Wanders rose to the challenge and has been in touch to offer all three an evening of hedonistic pleasure, the likes of which can only be found in a grotty backwater station with inadequate plumbing, an excess of gherkins, pickled mushrooms and irradiated coffee. If you have been affected by any of the issues in this article, then help is available. Call 0800 SCARD for life, where a team of counsellors is available to help.
Never let it be said that engineers don't have a sense of humour. After all, look at their photographs. No one who uses a picture of themselves that looks like that can fail to understand what's funny. It does, however, appear that we have been the butt of the joke. Engineers' recipe have required ingredients such as a long wait, tartan paint, skyhooks, or Don Antonacci's heart. And as we have to tell you now that no such items exist. Pilots have been driven to distraction and drink by trying to get barmen to exchange a pile of gold for a left-handed screwdriver, a new bubble for a spirit level, or a bucket of steam. Luckily for us, the Pilots Federation have stepped in and insisted that all transactions are now completely serious, with no frivolous items included, and that you can indeed collect a ton of radioactive sparks just by standing behind an asp as it takes off.
This week saw the latest epic release from movie action superstar Burr, filmed by celebrated director Rini in Cobravision. No stranger to action films, including epics such as Burmanator and Burmanator 2, Ice Station Burr, and that indie classic Burr and Rini's Excellent Adventure, his latest foray into the silver screen is a tale of one man, seven bounty hunters, and an awful lot of explosions. In a twist on the classic Seven Samurai trope, used as the basis for so many films, the director has added her own unique twist, with the Seven being a dastardly and motley crew of tougher-than-hobnails bounty hunters, all out to catch the Burr. Anyone expecting a return to his more cerebral recent outings like Do Burr's Dream of Electric Sheep and The Hitman's Birdie Guard might be disappointed. But for a Friday night is movie night special, with pizza and a few beers, this is the perfect tonic. It has guns, lots of guns, and explosions. It's rumoured that Burr's contract states that he does all of his own stunts, and some of the scenes where he's being shot at by all seven of the bounty hunters at once, six with laser weapons and bizarrely one with a pop gun, there are rumours that they were using live ammunition, and the Burr channeled his inner Matrix with a smattering of Reno, armed and dangerous, to avoid actual injury. Plaudits to the director, Arini, who directed, filmed, and edited the entire piece in the style of ancient silent movies. Adding in one of the bounty hunters carrying a really large plank and turning around, taking out two of their compadres, was, in our mind, a stroke of genius and evoked feelings of Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin of old. We give the film 5 mugs out of 5. Available to watch now at all good venues showing GalTube.
For centuries, ever since humanity took their first steps off this pale blue dot so they could get a really great view down at the pale blue dot, there had been a debate about where space actually is. Is there a big dividing line? Everything below that isn't space, whereas everything above it is. At what point can you reliably tell your mates, your mum and everyone down the pub that you're a spaceman or woman? Or astronaut, or cosmonaut, or whatever the term for it is in your culture. Of course, with interstellar travel being de rigueur these days for just about anyone, whether that be hopping in their own Sidewinder for their first excursion, to interplanetary shuttles and even trips to see Barnard's Loop aboard, just one of the many top 1% of liners out there. Since the earliest days, though, it has been a topic of debate. Clearly, airline pilots weren't in space, nor were high-altitude bomber crews. Baumgartner with his skydive spectacular? Was that space? Or just really, really, really high? What about the Branson and his Virgin? 80 kilometres, was that space? Whilst clearly when the sky goes black during the daytime and everything below starts looking curved, at the point you can see the thin blue line of the atmosphere over the horizon, it looks like space. People like Mr. Bezos and his rather phallic-looking 100-kilometre one-man-up ship will tell you that at least on Earth, space begins at the ton. Regardless of whether the fat man Megadon went further than the Virgin did, these days we have a far easier way of measuring it that works on any planet you visit. There's a little line on your heads-up display marked OC. That's orbital cruise. Above that line, and you're definitely a space person. Below it, that's just flying. So, next time you jump on a geezer in an attempt to get into orbit in your spacesuit, make sure you know where your OC is before you start to plummet, as maybe, just maybe, and depending on the gravity, you might just achieve your wings without any.
Just when you thought Hutton's space was peaceful enough, that it was time to trade in your Corvette for a T9 and to put your super-penetrating multi-cannons on Galway. But never being one to let the truth get in the way of good headline, we have 2 wars to fight. Clearly emboldened by Arf & Co.'s Pilots Federation livestream antics last week, legitimising piracy, the Pirates of Van Maaren and Star have got the cutlass firmly between their teeth. And as I speak, swinging from the yard arms of destiny to try to take the VMS system with O'Connor City at stake. We haven't heard of anything as blatant as this since the cries of, "Where has all the gin gone?" after Cecil's last visit. So truckers, hotboxers particularly, get out there, exercise your thumbs and give them a poke in the eye. No, not the one with the patch, the good eye. Yes, yes, that's it. No, not there, that's just plain dirty. Oh, well, okay, if you insist. Oh, yeah, that does look painful. Give their wooden legs dry rot and make those villainous varmints walk the space plank. Their pirate cousins in Haghole have taken heart from this, have risen in sympathy, and are giving the folks at Messerschmitt City a hard time. The other war is in Bile Tacker, the systems we expanded into last week, but don't worry, we aren't staying. And so, if you fancy a bit of extracurricular pew-pew, fight for hi-ho universal commodities to see if there really is a silver lining. In AVIC, an in-depth, officially official, technically technical report confirms that some stuff is still on the blink after a week, so ship in water purifiers and power generators to relieve the infrastructure failure. Well done to the amazing fix-it crews who, during the week, busily fettled widgets and discombobulated doodahs in Y0855-0714 and LP245-10 to get everything more or less working again. At least until their budgeneering comes undone and we have to call in some proper electricians and pipe stranglers. We have only a pair of systems below 40% this week, VMS, which of course I've just mentioned. Pay attention at the back there. And Barnard's Star, which is still slowly recovering from multiple maladies of the recent past. A couple more systems, LP525-39 and Epsilon Indy, are hovering on 40% and could benefit from both a coating of truckerly love and blatant capitalism to lift their influence. At the top end of the systems league, the usual half dozen overheated systems are doing their thing over 60%, but nothing daft in the 70s or 80s for a change. Meanwhile in Colonia, Fleet Conductor Hanky asked that truckers win the election against like dealer of Colonia in Pythias and relieve the infrastructure failure there. Priorities this week. If you want to truck something, help relieve the week-old infrastructure failure in Avic, and then boost the systems hovering around 40%. If you want to shoot something, unlike last week, you're spoilt for choice, with two wars in Avic and Bile Tacker and a pirate incursion in Haghole.
News now from community-led events around the galaxy. Links to each item will be posted in chat and will also be available on your YouTube recording. First tonight, as usual, Commander Mephisto has news from the flight deck of the Fleet Carrier Khonsu as it takes pilots to the 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge in tritium-fueled ease. He tells us, the Comfy Cannon crews made good pace, covering waypoints 49 to 55 each in a day. PTQL and Q-type anomalies were there to be admired. Farewells go to Commanders English and Bunny Ghost, who left the crews after a game of hide-and-seek around the console, blown up on their way on their own request by Commander Argus Packhounds. As commanders who'd not had their Pilots Federation license for very long, they got bored with only exploring and took the Remlock ride back to the bubble. A correction for last week's report has to be made. Commander Bellinger got Exploration Elite 1, not the basic everyone has it rank, thus double salutes were in order. Commander Yannick has an update from the Apollo 15 anniversary expedition, which set off from the Hind Nebula on Saturday en route to the beautiful worlds of David and Goliath. The expedition has had a very successful launch from the Hind Nebula, with 550 commanders joining the journey, then hit the second waypoint within a day. We are continuing with this truly international expedition with players in the Pacific, North American and European time zones all gathering together in collaboration, in discovery and in celebration of what we achieve and that our ancestors of Apollo 15. As you heard earlier in the news, Hanky's much-heralded so-called party at the end of the galaxy got underway this week. But I think that until the rogue clone is brought to heel and they start actually having what I call a party, we'll move swiftly on to the next item. The last expedition we're covering this week coming up is from Sunday, is the Rook Platoon Explores the Land Down Under. Commander Nicole Dyson is our liaison to the expedition and he says, as a goodbye to the Horizons Galaxy and a hello to Odyssey, the Rook Platoon invites you to explore a land not often travelled. Join us as we travel to the Australis Ferris Wheel and the southwestern corner of the galaxy along a 3-week journey. This trip will support both Horizons and Odyssey players alike, and will involve some studies of exobiology for those who can partake in Odyssey, as well as some opportunities to see some frequently missed Horizons-based life forms lost in the deep reaches of space. More details will come over the next few days as we lead up to our launch window. Finally, we've got an item of a different kind. Commander Westorp, the habitual jailbird, has been chronicling the tales of a group known as the Shunned. We're posting a link to the full article, but here is a précis from the man himself. Unrest in the Pencil Sector. An increase in traffic to the Pencil Sector as a result of the recent Aegis Salvation instigated Guardian Artifact Gold Rush has shone a light on the plight of the local population. The Pencil Sector EL-Y-D5 system has long acted as a base camp of sorts for expeditions deeper into the region, and the controlling Seven Stages movement government has been happy to play host to visitors to their new growth asteroid station. But increasingly vocal critics of the regime have drawn attention to a growing local populace who it is claimed have been abandoned. Stories are emerging of the systematic expulsion of individuals from society, incarceration in labour camps, and denial of access to healthcare. Community leaders have appealed for assistance in the hope that independent pilots may be able to provide aid to the group unkindly labelled the Shunned. Don't forget to let us know of any events that you're organising or even taking part in, and we'll give them a shout out on the show.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing, we'll keep it short and sweet this week. Tharga's back, but he could only muster enough forces to attack one system. Apparently he couldn't get enough up to do anything more.
Oh, get it up.
But that's okay, Tharg. We'll take you down no matter how many or few systems you show up in. The system is Pleiades Sector PD-S B4-0. Combat pilots, there are both non-human signal sources and AX combat zones to fight in. Let's remind Tharg that wherever he pokes his mandibles, they'll get punched back to Witch Space. Rescue pilots, Iesu Dock is burning and needs evacuation services. Let's get those people out of harm's way and onto the rescue ship. Remember, truckers, whether hundreds are burning across the bubble or just one far out in the Pleiades, we're here to protect the innocent lives on those stations. Watch your six, keep your eyes on the signal sources, and defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.